new to this world and don't follow some real genuine good classic progressive rock and don't remember the guys at Utopia, well, this gentleman, one of the finest bass players and keyboardists, right?
You're too kind.
Right? You really are, dude. Honestly, I'm telling you. I mentioned it earlier. Race turned me on to you guys just recently, and you guys, like, knocked my socks off. I love the sound of those albums, man. Like,
yeah, it was a great time, you know? I mean, we had a great time in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't want to date myself, but
right.
You know, that was, we were like kind of on the forefront of the real heavy stuff that was around at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. You could hear it. Like, when I listened to that stuff, you could see where bands that we play even here, like we were saying off the air, like Dream Theater. Yeah. I mean, those guys probably, I'm sure, listen to you guys. You know, I bet you if you asked any of those guys, they probably bring you guys up as an influence. I can almost guarantee it.
I'm pretty sure that they definitely know who we were.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah,
a lot of bands did.
So now you guys had the whole progressive rock movement and stuff, and I like that. That was your first big. Was that your first big? Let's say. Thrown into like the whole concert thing. Yeah, like, you know.
That was my first big gig.
Yeah.
That was my first real professional gig. I was traveling all over the world making records.
And did you know Todd already, or like?
No, I didn't. I just went for an audition and
yeah.
The stars lined up and I got the gig and
that's awesome.
Parlayed it into a career.
That's fantastic, dude. And you know, because I was doing some research before. I love the web. It's so easy now, you know? You know, I don't know how those old DJs... Yeah, that's it. I don't know how those old DJs used to do it. I really don't. Now it's just like, bip, bip, bip. You print it out. It's right in front of you. But yeah, no, I was going through and really, like, I definitely want to talk a lot about this as we go. That, you know, some of the... They got you down here touring with artists. Not just the artists you played with, mm-hmm. but the artists that, like, you know, you've just been around the world with. I mean, they got everybody here from Blois to Cult, yeah. You know, right? Meatloaf, of course. But we got to get into Meatloaf later. You played with the Blackhearts, the Joan Jett?
I played with Joan for 3.5 years. That was a great 3.5 years.
Wow.
And it was, like, right after she had done a record. It wasn't received that well. And then we did Up Your Alley, and she had her first... number one hit.
Wow.
From that record. Or was it top five? I don't know.
Right, right, right.
That was Hate Myself for Loving You.
Right, right, exactly. Wow, okay. So yeah, that's a big era, dude.
Yeah, man, I love Joan. She's
see,
the best.
See, I didn't even realize, like, how much music you've really touched over the years. I, you know, like I said, I knew you from the Utopia stuff. I knew you did work with Meatloaf, you know, because I know you've done tons of tours with Meatloaf, right?
I did the first record.
Right.
Out of Hell 1, I played bass on that.
That's, yeah, right, exactly. So that I all knew, but, like, yeah, I mean, some of the guys they had down here, I was just, like, really thrown back, so that's why I wanted to get into it with you. Now, how about Patti Smith? Like, what have you done with her? You done stuff with her?
I did a record with her. I did, what is it, Dream? Dream of Life.
That's all right. You have as many brain cells as I do, dude. It's
a lot for you. I recorded on Dream of Life with her.
Very good. Dude, I'm telling you, another artist.
A good buddy of mine plays bass with him now, Tony Shanahan.
Oh, really? Yeah?
He's a Jersey guy.
See, this is another thing. I got to talk to Ray. See, Ray loves Patti Smith.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, man. He's probably so mad that he's not here right now hanging out with us. I'm telling you.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, you know what? I'm going to have to make you sign something before you leave. They did remind me of that. So, yeah, so basically, let's see. I got a couple of really good questions for you that I want to get into. Now, first of all.
Favorite color.
Yeah. No, I promise you that there'll be more intelligent questions than that. All right. Now, the first thing I want to know, because, like I said, you are... You know, renowned for playing with all these acts, and you played with a lot of talents over the years, whether live or in the studio. Like, is there something that you got to do to prepare to go with each guy? You know, like, I'm sure dealing with different artists, you're dealing with different personalities.
Yeah.
And how about the creative process, though? Like, let's say you get into the room with Todd, like, do you kind of know what you're going to do? Like, do you bring your own stuff sometimes? Does he just tell you do this, this, and that? Like, how does the... The creative process.
I mean, it depends on what you're on the particular project. But my experience has been that the best thing that you can possibly do is not try to be anybody else but yourself.
Right, I got you.
The minute you go in and you try to put on some kind of false, you know, false pretense or
right.
facade that's not really you, people can smell that stuff a mile
absolutely,
away.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they don't, and they know it, and they'll find you out, and then they'll say, I don't want to work with that.
Right,
and
right,
he's,
right.
He's full of it, you know.
Right, I got you.
He's not a real guy. So as much as you might not trust what your own instinct, you got to be yourself. That's all. And you just go in there and try to do your best job, put your best foot forward, try to be as professional as possible. And that always, always wins like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, like I said, from all the acts you've worked with, you're obviously a team player because, yeah, I mean, all these guys wouldn't want to work with you if you weren't.
There's no I in
team. You're right. Absolutely. And by the way, we're talking to Kasim Sultan, of course, who's worked with everybody, as we said, from Utopia, who we started with, to, you know, of course, Todd Rundgren. And, yeah, so, you know what, let's get into Todd. Sure. So you, as you said, you basically rehearsed for him, and that's how, I mean...
Yeah,
audition for him, right?
Just went up for an audition.
And it just kind of rolled from there, and you guys,
yeah,
like...
Actually, the story goes, and I've told the story a billion times, but the story goes that Todd thought that I was too young. I had just turned 20 years old.
I gotcha.
So he thought that I was too young. I'd never been on the road before. I'd never made a record before. He didn't want me in the band. The other two guys did want me in the band.
Right.
They they kind of overruled him.
Right, right, yeah.
Said, look, either you take this guy in the band or you find another keyboard player and drummer.
Right, right.
And he got, like, really upset and said, fine, if you want him in the band, fine. And
right.
He proceeded not to talk to me for the next 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it was that tough?
Yeah, he hated me.
Wow. So that's really hazing, man. That's, like, serious hazing right there.
I went to bed in tears.
I can imagine.
Like, why doesn't he like me?
Yeah, because, you know, it's almost like a catch-22. You know, you got, like, your dream job here. Like, you know, you're on the road, you're writing records, whatever. And,
yeah,
you know, at the same time, you know, you're not getting acknowledged by Todd Rundgren. Like, the guy... Yeah.
Well, it took a little while for him to warm up to me, but now I consider.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, he'd be crazy not to, man.
Well,
you know,
I mean, look, I've been with Todd for like a lot of just 3 decades,
right?
And I would do anything for him. He's the best person in the whole world.
And I'm sure, man. I'm sure, like, he's so professional in the studio. That's probably why he was worried about having a young kid at the time come in, because,
well, you know. I mean, the thing is, at that point in his career, he had already produced Grand Funk.
Right. We're an American band, right?
Yeah,
he did. Yeah.
I mean, that was a huge, huge record.
Right.
And Grand Funk was a real heavy band too.
Right.
You know, he did a bunch of other bands. Like, he did The Band.
Yeah, right. And of course, he did the first Meatloaf, not the first Meatloaf record, but
he did.
Oh, right. The Bad. Right. He did Bad Out of Hell. Right. Right.
That
the first
was
one.
After I joined the band.
Right. You were already there by then.
Yes,
right. Right. Because that's later.
He called me up and he says, "I'm doing this artist. You want to come in and play bass on it?" I said, "Yeah, sure. Who?" He says, "Oh, it's a guy named Meatloaf." All right, stop fooling around. Who is it? He's like, just show up. Just show up and play bass.
So I was going to ask you, now, how'd that take place, the whole Meatloaf thing? How'd that connection go?
Somehow it wound up, the project, they couldn't sell it to any record company. They wanted to make the record desperately. Jim and Meatloaf and their manager wanted the record made, and they decided that the best person to produce the record would be Todd, and Todd funded the whole record by himself.
Right, right.
And
that's how I wound up. Was my microphone off the whole time?
No.
Oh, okay. He funded the whole record himself. We did it, and Todd. It was Jim Steinman's songs. That's where it started.
Right,
but,
right.
But it was really Todd's idea of what Jim's songs was that made, or Jim's songs were that made the album what it was.
Right, I gotcha. Yeah. So basically, you know, now explain what's it like now? What's the differences between, you know, working with a Todd Rundgren and working with a Meatloaf? Like, is it very two different worlds working with those two guys?
Totally different worlds.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Todd is really, really talented. Todd's a genius.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a brilliant songwriter. He's a great lyricist, multi-instrumentalist, and still to this day, can sing just as well as he did 30 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, what about Meatloaf? Like what's his personality like? Is he as wild a guy, though, as we see on television?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah, that's Meat.
Yeah, he's just all over the place like that?
Oh, totally all over
the place. And you know what? I got to say, even his acting, I love watching him even act.
Yeah,
like, you know,
he's actually a really good actor.
You could see, he's just got a...
Yeah,
I saw him on wrestling recently.
He should actually do more acting.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, I saw him in a wrestling ring recently. I was like, what's he doing in the ring?
Yeah.
He
was promoting his new record.
Right, he had a new record, right, mm-hmm. And it just came out.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, guys, we're hanging out here with Kasim Sultan, having a good time, having a really good interview, actually, so far. We're going to take another break. We're going to do another few minutes. Are you going to hang out for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so look, we're going to do some tunes. You know, we'll get more into some of the stuff with Meatloaf and some of the stuff with Todd Rundgren. And, of course, into his solo career. I like to really talk about some of the stories on the road and maybe even some of the material that you wrote over the years, like some of your favorite stuff. You
Absolutely.
Know? All right, we'll get into that more next. Hang out, 105.7 The Hawk, Saturday night, Slaughterhouse. We'll be right back.